Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
What is going on? Oh, my gosh. Yesterday, just a strange, strange day. We had some beautiful sunshine, and then all of a sudden it would turn around and the clouds rolled in. And
every 10 minutes.
It just, cannot figure out what's going on. And now we're supposed to get a dump in the snow. So we shall see how that works out. We're supposed to help our eldest and his girlfriend move out of their condo on Saturday when we're supposed to also have 10 centimeters of snow. So that should work out great, I think. I think that'll be a lovely morning. Oh, I'll be a joy and a treat to be around.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. You know, I have made this announcement to many friends and many family since about the age of probably 35, for sure 40. Don't ask me to help you move.
Mm.
When you're young and you get your first place, of course.
Yeah.
But when you get to a stage where you're buying one and selling another, hire movers.
Include that into the price for
yourself.
Yes,
I'm not coming to your place for some pizza and beer to help you slug couches out the door. Like at this stage of the game, if you sold your house and bought another, would you hire movers or would you try to recruit people to help you move?
No, I'd absolutely hire movers. That being said, sometimes before the move, you have to clean up a little bit or get some of your stuff moved around or out just to stage, right? Reduce some of your furniture. But I've got a couple of boys that should be capable of helping with that.
They don't shovel snow. How are they going to help you move anything?
Well, we moved a couple of couches the other day and we had them out doing that too.
They did that? So,
yeah.
All right.
Did
that. Well, that's something.
Put them to work.
That's something. Yeah. Now, I say this and I make these announcements, so I'm not helping anybody move. But again, children, the worst. What am I going to say? No? What am I getting out of this? Probably a sore back, and I'll end up at the hospital thinking I'm having a heart attack.
Could be.
It's probably what'll happen. There's
probably a little bit of frustration involved. I'm assuming they're not on the ground floor, so there will be
some sort
of elevator having to move up.
Yeah, you can only book the elevator for, I think, 3 hours. So they have it, of course, at the earliest time, 9 a.m. till 11 or noon, whatever it is.
Gotcha.
We've got to move a bunch of stuff. Small items to add to our house and collection of everybody's crap.
Is there a truck rented?
Oh, the van in the parking lot here. And then a bunch of big stuff has to go to my mother-in-law's in Brampton.
Okay.
And we have to do all of that in 3 hours with the elevator. So we have to get the small stuff out and back to Oshawa and then back to Pickering and then the big stuff into the van all in the 3 hour window of the elevator booked.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, it's not happening. Now my son and his girlfriend will have their crap scattered over 4 different homes.
And where are they ending up physically?
A dumpster. She's going back to Windsor for a while to her parents. He's coming back to our house while he looks for another job.
Oh, okay.
If he works remotely, which so many young upstart companies are, if he works remotely and can work remotely, he will end up probably in Windsor with her. If he lands a job in the GTA that he has to be in attendance, she will be coming back here and they'll be looking for another place where we'll move them again.
So this is the midway point where this is not a final move of any sort.
My son turns 30 this September.
Right.
By the time I was 30, I had 2 children and into my second home.
Oh, things are very different from that now.
No, I know they are. I understand. We've all got our problems and crosses to bear. My crosses to bear are just much bigger than yours. And I should have less by now. My crosses are getting bigger and worse.
Right.
I was on the phone yesterday screaming at the Superior Courts in Windsor. I got a condo that the woman is now threatening to pull out of the deal because it won't close till probate ends.
Right.
By the time this is all said and done, I'm going to have $12.
I had a great night.
Oh, I know you did. We argued yesterday about cars and selling cars. You've got two vehicles are worth more than the entire estate I'm getting. And that's not a joke. So next time you want to piss and moan to me about anything, you keep your flipping yap shut. If you were able to get 99% discounts on something and receive it for a lifetime.
Right.
But you can only pick one thing. What would you choose? You have six choices. More than 2,000 people weighed in with their thoughts on this.
Okay.
So entertainment, bottom of the list. Stuff like concerts, movies, streaming services, and even fine dining and cruises. They would turn their nose up to that.
Mm.
99% discount for life.
All right.
Insurance, everything, health, car, life, and home.
Gotcha.
You get a 99% discount on that. Utilities, gas, electric, water, internet bills.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes. Now, I don't know if this means like all taxes on purchased items or just your salary tax.
Right.
I mean, I would want to keep paying my salary tax because I like to give back to the community.
Sure.
And the people.
Well, and so low. It's yeah. Not really an impact.
Here's my $25. Transport, things like Uber, flights, gas, and even car repairs.
Okay.
And at the top of the list, because we're so damn vain, luxury goods.
Yeah.
Jewelry, designer clothes, and iPhones. We want a 99% discount on all of that.
Yeah.
We'll pay full retail for everything else.
Really?
But we want designer clothes. We're so pathetic.
I mean, you know, just when you suggested we were going to talk about the topic, some people texted in with beer and wine.
I said red wine. They said beer and gas. Beer and gas.
Usually top that list. I would say the tax. I would take a 99% discount on taxes.
But why? You also pay so little.
Right. But but there is still that when you look at the, like, this is tax season now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the nut you've put out over the last year, if you got like 99% of that back,
mm-hmm.
Boy, that would feel good.
I guess I think I would still pay my taxes because I just don't feel it. I'm just so used to paying
right.
It. Again, especially on your salary. Now, if you were to be able to have 99% off on all taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a game changer, certainly. I mean, gas alone would come down significantly.
Yeah, you just imagine if you know, the price that you saw on everything was the final price.
Mm.
And the amount that you saw in your paycheck, that's the top of the paycheck, mm-hmm. was the final paycheck. Or very close to it. That would be mint.
I think if I had to choose one, I'd probably go with, like, gas. Something you need.
Mm.
If think of all the cost of filling up your car. If I could go from spending $100 down to, like, you know, a buck.
Right. But I mean, I guess it depends on your lifestyle too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're traveling all the time,
mm-hmm.
if the cost of, let's say it was transportation,
right,
that goes down 99% for you, that would be unreal. Because yes, if it includes the price of a car, which, you know, we all know is doubled, skyrocketed, mm-hmm. You know, insurance, which keeps going up, and 407 bills, tolls, if that's included in transportation.
Right.
And gas. Oh, man, that would be huge.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, when we have to go across the GTA, when we have to go out to the West End to visit family, we'll take a look on our Google Maps to see what's busier. And, you know, always the 401 is busier. But because of where we live, the time to get to the 401 for us is the same amount of time, or it's actually less time, than it takes to get to the 407. And there's a divide there. Like, if all is equal, it's an hour from the East End to the West End for us on either the 401 or the 407.
Right.
If the 401 is moving. But for the cost of the 407, I'm willing to eat up to like 15 or 20 minutes. Like, yeah. I'll take, Maria's like, no, let's just go on the 407. Of course, Maria says, let's take the 407, because she doesn't pay the 407 bill.
Right.
I don't think she knows that it's not free.
Or, well, and do you know the real cost of things? Because we get kind of, you know, numbers in our head of what things are costing us or percentages. And, but we don't really do the math on it. You know, like Adrienne was in the States, with the kids at one point, and she was just, oh, I had to take a toll route. I was like, sorry, we needed to take it. I was like, go ahead. You know, when they got the bill at the end of it, you used it for an entire weekend. I think it was $6.
Oh, I know.
Right? It was nothing. You can go across all of New York State for under $5.
We drive on the 407 maybe twice a month, if. And even then, it's about $60.
Right.
Like, it's insanely expensive.
But I think a lot of this is our inability to budget and what we see as our budgets for things, right? Because if you really took a look at your monthly budget and what you were spending, like look at you perhaps, what you're spending in entertainment fees.
Just alcohol.
I was leaving that out kindly.
No, you can be honest. Right? Yes, it's probably one of my biggest expenses.
Well, but just television. Your streaming services, the cost of your TV, internet, and streaming services, and add phones in there as well. And if you really budget that out, you're probably spending $400 or $500 a month, or over $6,000 a year.
We're just under $300 a month.
Okay, there you go.
Streaming and television.
About $4,000 a year goes into that. Right. When you put that into perspective, you're like, holy cow. But then we'll hear something like, oh man, the price of gas is going up, or this carbon tax is going to raise it 3 cents a liter. And we're panicked thinking, oh, this is ridiculous. Well, 3 cents a liter when you're filling up your tank is probably going to end up being $4.
Yeah. And sometimes we'll look at our bills and we'll rationalize everything. So say, like when Maria and I went down to Windsor on the weekend and we stayed in the hotel, and once everything was in for two nights, I think the bill came to like $400 or something, basically. And at first I'm like, oh my gosh, $400 for two nights. This is crazy. Then I think, well, to my television, I give it almost $300 a month. I don't even watch most of it. So basically wiping my arse with almost $300 a month outside and the streaming on top of all of that. But yes, I guess now when I think about it even more, because I don't drive that much to and from work and kind of, maybe out to the West End once a month or twice a month. All right, LCBO tax. Now that we talked about what we spend most of our money on, if I could get 99% off of the LCBO, I would be a happy man. You enjoy a blueberry?
Wouldn't be my go-to the berries.
You're like a bear, like a blueberry, like on a...
I think raspberry is top of the list of the berries for me.
Oh, really?
Strawberry second.
Yeah, I'm good with all the berries. If I come home and I see a bowl of any berry all washed and cleaned up and ready to be eaten, I'll shove them back.
Okay.
But if they sit in the fridge, they're going moldy before I get to them.
Right.
I don't know what my problem is. I can open up all sorts of containers of snack foods. Yeah. But I can't wash a fruit.
Maybe you should put them in the pantry. You'll find them easier.
Maybe. Right beside the potato chips and the cookies. Anyhow, there's a company that just unveiled the largest blueberry ever grown. It's about the size of a ping pong ball.
Okay.
Normal blueberry only weighs a gram or two. This one's 10 to 20 times heavier than that.
Are they sure it's not just a grape?
No, I think it's an actual farm who does berries. Their name is Costa Berries.
Okay.
So they must know a thing about the berries. They picked it in November, and it sat in a deep freezer for 3 months while they waited on Guinness to verify it. The old record was 16.2 grams. It's now the biggest blueberry on record. They've been working on breeding them to be bigger because they say that's a lot of what consumers demand for a larger blueberry. Because of that demand, it might not be long before you see even an even bigger blueberry than this. The old record only stood for 3 years, so the berry battle is on.
All right.
And I don't think we need this, but there is now a pizza-flavored beer.
No, we don't need that.
No, beer is great just as it is.
Why are we flavoring it?
I don't know, because we're crazy with the beers now. Ever since the IPAs and the craft beers came around, You know, forever and a day, we just drank a normal. Maybe you'd get like a darker beer or a light beer. That right. was it. Dark or light.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's all sorts of flavors. We're putting fruit in them. It's all too much.
Yeah.
A nice cold pint and a slice of pizza.
Yes, I agree.
Perfect. Well, this IPA is about 7% alcohol, so it's a strong beer.
All right.
And it's been described as having hints of a crispy crust, tangy tomato sauce, savory herbs and spices with a pepperoni finish.
Hints of crispy crust. So like burnt?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not saying I wouldn't try one. Like if somebody offered me, I wouldn't buy one.
Right.
But if somebody said, oh, you got to try this pizza flavored beer, I'd give her a swig.
Hmm.
Plus it's 7% alcohol. You know.
Because that's what you need.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I don't get it. And, you know, it's funny because we had a bit of a battle at one of our Rock Your Blocks with Alan from Tradescope Electrical. Now, he's a very chill, calm guy.
Right. Yes.
But he got very upset with us about us mocking people who drink craft beers. Because he is a beer snob.
Yes.
And openly admits it.
Right, yeah.
Knows it of himself.
Yep.
I just said, look, Alan, settle down. Fix my lights.
You worry about the lights.
Yeah.
I'll drink what I want to drink.
I was going to say I don't mock people, but I do. That's what we do. I mock people over everything that I disagree with. But the beer snob thing is, it can get very annoying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when people look, you go out with some friends and one of your buddy is a beer snob and you're made to feel guilty because you order a Bud Light.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, any kind of food snob, it's to me, that's the same way, right? Like even pizza.
Right.
You know what? Even a bad pizza is still good. It's still pizza. And okay, I don't favor all of the fast chains, but when I'm hungry for a pizza and you put a fresh slice from anywhere in front of me, you know, I'm eating it.
See, I agree with you that all people, well, I don't even really agree with you because
to the point of not touching a pizza from a certain place?
If someone bought it and brought it over, I wouldn't be that insulting or rude. If you showed up at my house with a particular chain pizza.
But that's where it differs from the beer snob. Because if you showed up at his house with a case of Coors Light, he'd be like, no, I'm not drinking that.
Right.
I won't touch that.
Right, right. Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean,
to me is the annoyance of the beer snob. At some point, it's still a beer. And at some point, a pizza is still a pizza.
Like when I have been involved with some sort of group event and somebody says, we're ordering in pizza for everybody. If I hear a couple of names come up of pizza joints.
Right.
That I know are the worst, I will say, can we not, like before it happens, can we pick somewhere else?
Right.
Because I do have a hint of pizza snob in me. I will give you that.
Listen, like Evan is a fan of one particular place of pizza that I don't really enjoy.
Right.
It rhymes with nominoes.
It's the... let me think.
Take a stretch. And it's not my favorite. But at the same time, when I'm hungry and it's hot, it's pepperoni and bacon on a slice of bread. I'm good with it.
Oh, I don't know that. And
I don't crave it ever, but I'll eat
that. That and piddle beezers. Just, I don't want your nominos.
That took me a second.
And I don't want my piddle deezers. Since 2012, there has been a World Happiness Report that has been released, and it ranks how people in more than 140 different countries evaluate the quality of their lives. And the Scandinavian countries do very well. Denmark is number 2, Iceland is number 3. Rest are like Sweden, Netherlands, Norway, Luxembourg, Switzerland, New Zealand's on the list. In the top 10 is Israel as well, and that seems odd. But then this research was probably done before Hamas attacked. So, and certainly the ongoing war, I'm sure it's not so great in Israel right now. or in for the Palestine side of things. So that would obviously fall down. I'd go with like a Botswana as a place that I think probably got a lot of happiness going on.
The Caribbean countries are on there. Mind you, we go there, spend our money, and sit in the lap of luxury. Those living there, not quite as happy.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. There's always that guilt I have felt. And my youngest even noticed it when we went down to the Dominican one time, that when you're on that lovely air conditioned bus from the hotel to the resort, and they're handing you beers on the bus, and you're just driving through absolute poverty.
Yep.
You're like, oh.
Jamaica's the same, right? You get these shanty towns that are, you're passing by, and most of us look at them and think, oh, look, they got a lot of sheds around here. Like, no, that's not where they keep their tools.
Nope. That's somebody's house. Yeah. So, Canada shows up, 15th, which is, out of 140. We'll take that. The U.S. fell out of the top 20 for the first time. They're 23rd now, so. And there's probably a lot of reasons for that.
When you break down the numbers, I guess it's really the youth or those under 30 ranked the U.S. 62nd on that list. And so, you know, you really get some discontent in the youth and the younger population. I mean, Canada has dropped as well. And a lot of that with you can hear the discontent that happens. As for, you know, the Scandinavian countries and, you know, on top. In Finland, they talk about, one is this cleanliness, clean air, but also they're very communal, like in terms of taking care of each other and helping out, fellow persons, and they seem like they're a very pleasant people.
Yeah. And well, the fact that Finland's had it for 7 years in a row.
And it's the saunas. 5 million saunas in a country with 7 million people.
Good morning, Helsinki. I'm fully aboard. I actually, I have a lot of interest when it comes to vacations and just going to cities. I love to just roam around cities. And I looked up a list of like the top 20 cities in the world. And Helsinki also sits up very high just for its beauty and its architecture and everything it has to offer.
The crazy part about it, though, like in the summer, it's all daylight. Like the sun disappears for like 20 minutes, right? It never actually goes down below the horizon. And in the winter, it's complete darkness.
Yeah, which you think would really be depressing, but I guess not. Well, plus two, with the Scandinavian countries, if you have a baby, you're on maternity leave for the first 18 years of the kid's life. So all paid for by the government.
Yeah, well, vacation is one, too. I think in Netherlands, right away, when you start a job, you start at like 6 weeks vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole different thing. I was reading this this book written by Albert Brooks, and it's based on what he believes America will be like in 2030, and it really is going down this road. He could be onto something, because basically what you're seeing is maybe not an uprising between left and right in politics, but rather young and old, because. Now, as you had mentioned, you know, the happiness level for people like under 30 is way down. And for people over 60, it's way up. And I was talking to Alan from Tradescope Electrical. He was at my house the other day. And we were just talking about what everybody always talks about, the cost of everything. And I had said to him, I said, you know, because he's, I think, around your age or a little younger. I said, anybody in their like 40s or me in my 50s, we really skated through. We got in just under the wire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when it comes to home ownership.
The housing is the big one, yeah.
Like, we really got extremely lucky on that front because, yeah, it's all just too much.
Well, and because part of it is if you bought a home in, you know, about 20 years ago, or 15, 20 years ago, then the equity that you've built in it gives you a bit of a comfort factor.
It's a cushion
right
there,
now.
Yeah.
If you feel like you've got a good cushion going on, and that's why they're not so afraid to borrow, or that even though it's, as interest rates go up, yeah, you start to pinch a little bit, but you know you've got some equity still built.
Yep.
And those who are younger and and haven't gotten into that market yet look at it as an impossible hurdle.
Yeah, and I don't know what can be done about it. I mean, obviously, the one side of me, the selfish side of me, is like, haha, aren't I lucky?
Right.
But then I obviously feel for my kids, and I just don't know banking and just economy-wise, what can ever change this? I mean, the government's never going to come in and say, oh, okay, that million-dollar home of yours now is only valued at $200,000, so somebody else can come and buy right. it. You know, I know that in other countries, again, in Scandinavian countries, they have, like, no down payment. You can just go and borrow. If you need to buy something for 700 grand, mm-hmm. you just borrow the 700,000 and you carry it for a 40 or a 50 year mortgage. I don't know. I know that's where we get things going upside down, because then the economy drops and homes aren't worth what they were. And you're borrowing all this money against a house. It's what happened in the States, right? In 2018 or whenever it was, and people are just walking away from, yeah. from their homes. But something has to be done. I mean, something. I don't know.
But there is a bit of a Western culture on this side of the Atlantic, too, where it's well, you know, we came across and we built what we built. Mm. Now it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, don't let others in to try to take, or if others are coming in and taking right. a piece of that, we're very selfish with it. I mean, at least in this country, there's healthcare, and you know, you want to talk stresses. Mm-hmm. Not having that would be unbelievable at this time.
Yeah, I think at this stage, if you see a band of under 30-somethings walking down your street with pitchforks in their hands, I would duck. You know, one of my favorite things to do is just swear. Love swearing. And right. I think we read somewhere a while back that people who swear a lot are actually more intelligent. But this is where we're all so full of poop. There was questions asked about when did you start swearing on a regular basis? And the most common answer was people saying they never have fallen into a habit of regularly using bad words. You MF flippin' liar. If you say you never swear, like, do you have anybody in your life, like your mom, perhaps? Have you ever heard her drop the F-bomb? Are there people in your life who you've never heard swear?
No, because I usually cause them to.
Like, I don't know. My one friend's mom, I want to say, I never heard her say a bad word. So much so that when she would even hear it, like on the television, or if we were playing a comedy record, she would lose her mind.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, she was crazy about it. It really drove her nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, when people who were being actually honest, they said they started just dropping profanity around the age 10 or 11.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that. My father had very few talents. But the one thing he was great at is he could, in a fit of rage, string together a litany of swear words that all made sense.
Like Clark Griswold kind of?
Yeah, but it would flare out of nowhere, and he would incorporate his own body parts
yes.
and other people's stuff. And he would be, I remember once he was trying to adjust a door. You know, with the hinges, you try to make it closed, soft, or was it slamming shut?
Mm.
I think he spent about, I want to say, 3 to 4 minutes on this door. Couldn't figure it out. Tools went flying, and the swear words went on for, like, it seemed forever.
Yeah.
And I just stood and went, that is pure poetry, Pops. What? If you could have made a lot of dough just stringing together cuss words.
Right.
Oh, he was so good at it. And then he'd be over it like a second later. He'd be fine again.
Yeah. Just get it all out.
Oh, yeah. I'm not that great at it. Like, I'm not, you know, none of us are like Samuel L. Jackson talent level. But I really do enjoy dropping them.
Oh, yeah. It was a great release.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people have said to us many times, because when we're off the air, those words go flying.
The second the mics are off.
Some of the things we say are so horrifically horrible and dark.
To each other.
Yes, off the air.
Yeah.
People will say, well, how do you not swear on the air.
It's usually the top question I get.
I have said, I have accidentally dropped the F-bomb on the air. I allowed someone to, I forgot to edit out a great litany of swear words, mm-hmm. which lost me a job at one point. But it is funny, kind of some of the words we can get away with now. Like I'll hear people say shit on the air.
Well,
like
another,
yeah,
I guess
another,
you just did.
Well, fire me.
Right.
I'm hearing like talk radio people say it.
Right.
I mean, we haven't gotten to the F-bomb, but I think we're a lot looser with the language.
Generally, yeah. I mean, I don't use that, but I think the podcast world has changed that.
Yeah.
And has it loosened the rules in some senses? Definitely. Has it made it better for that? Not necessarily. Mm. Because there are some that just do it for the sake of doing it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's almost a skill to be able to do it without doing it. Nevertheless, I think, yeah, we've certainly loosened. Well, at one point, darn was, you know, or damn was frowned upon. And that's, you know, completely changed. And in the music in itself, you get it, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. And we've had, I remember like when songs with the word bitch came out, like Stones had the tune bitch.
Right.
And that was that Meredith, what's her name, had the song.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
And I remember some PDs being like, just avoid saying it, you know? So, yeah, I think we have come a long way. And I remember Howard Stern, he was being interviewed shortly after he got onto satellite radio, and he said, he told his entire team, look, just because we can drop the F-bomb, we're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember listening at first, and certainly he was using it here and there, but I know you're right. There's a lot of young people with podcasts, and it's just F this and F that.
Yeah. Well, I know I was on one once. Someone had interviewed me, and then I went, and I didn't swear during it, and they didn't swear during it. And then I went and listened afterwards, and the whole intro to it was like littered with F-bombs. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
This isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, too, with your kids when they start using it. And when they use it in the proper, like they get the words correct and use
right.
it well in a sentence. Again, like my fault, I just say,
well,
good on you.
As parents, we are certainly hypocrites when it comes to the swearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll swear at them. And then the second they say something, you know, near offside,
right.
he's like, hey, you know, let's get the soap out, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, certainly now with your eldest, because he's in high school, so I'm sure the F-bomb is one of his favorite words.
Could be, but not around the house.
No.
And certainly not at me. If that,
Ma, Pops, go F yourself.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.